Romans chapter 8. Last week we went through the first four verses of Romans chapter 8. This week we're going to be starting in verse 5. Going to read to verse 11, and not promising anything, we might get there, we may not. But we're going to start in verse 5. Romans chapter 8, verse 5. For those who are according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who are according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For the mindset on the flesh is death, but the mindset on the Spirit is life and peace. Because the mindset on the flesh is hostile toward God, for it does not subject itself to the law of God, for it is not even able to do so. And those who are in the flesh cannot please God. However, you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you, but if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to him. If Christ is in you, then though your body is dead because of sin, yet the Spirit is alive because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father God, thank you so much for this truth. It's a comparison going on. And Lord, as we look at it, we see what it is to be in Christ and to be in the flesh. Father, I pray that you would work in our life, Father. Help us to see the difference. Help us, Lord God, to be able to communicate the difference, to recognize that there is a difference. Thank you so much for the gift of salvation and all that is in that. Lord God, for a complete different mindset. We praise your name. Because, Father, this is something that we wouldn't have thought of in and of ourselves. We wouldn't have done something like this. But, Father, you did, and you did it for a purpose. And we're so grateful. Because the purpose involved giving us a gift. Thank you again for your precious gift of love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In Romans, so far, we have looked at the fact Paul has written the book. He's written it about justification by faith. He showed how everyone was condemned, and yet all are available. Faith is available to all. We looked at that in Romans 4 with Abraham, and then we looked at Adam's sin and how that's pervasive to the world, and then the obedience of Christ and how that's pervasive to the world, how that is given to the world, that the world is justified, but the world hasn't lambanoed, it hasn't accepted. That word lambano is to grasp, to accept, and the word pisteo, to believe. The world hasn't taken that step. But for those who have, he says in chapter 6, should we continue to mess with sin at all? No, that's not even a question. And then he goes on to chapter 7 and talks about the law, talks about is the law the problem? Because the law points out sin. The law increases that sin. Is the law the problem? No, it's not the problem. Sin is the problem. And then we looked at the end of chapter 7 and how we deal with sin now. How do we deal with it now? Because if Paul is writing this as a Christian, then he's looking at his life saying, you know what, in my spirit, in my mind, I want to serve. And yet my body and this flesh, I don't serve. And I just prove that the law is right. I prove that I'm not good enough. And he ends up with the explanation or exclamation of wretched man that I am. Who can save me from this body of death? And then it's thanks be to the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you. And he comes into chapter 8 and he says there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. We looked at that last week. That God did it all. He sent his son. The law's requirement is fulfilled. In fact, if you look at verse 4, he says, so that the requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. According to the Spirit, not out of the Spirit, but according to the Spirit. Now, we looked at the comparison there just a little bit. But what I want to look at today is what that looks like. What does it look like to walk according to the Spirit? Because he says it He says the requirement of the law is fulfilled in us. He doesn't just say it was fulfilled in Christ. He says it's fulfilled in us who, what? Walk according to the Spirit. So what does that look like? Well, he goes on in verse 5 and talks about that. So what we're going to look at is, what does it look like to walk according to, or kata is according to, kata the Spirit. And the first thing we're going to look at is the mindset, the mindset. Look what it says in verse 5. For those who are according to, and by the way, I want to clarify that word according to. It's the word kata in the original. And I've given this illustration before, but if I had billions of dollars and someone came and said, you know, I have this real need, I have this broken leg and I don't have any money, I don't have any insurance, I need to get it fixed, I don't know what to do, and if I gave him something out of my riches, I could say, well, here's $25. Here's $25. That'll help you. Well, that's giving out of my riches. But if I gave him something according to my riches, then it would be like, okay, well, here, just give me the bill. I'll pay for it. Here's $25,000. Will that cover it? Okay, because that's according to what I have. Okay, now, look at that word. Somehow my glasses are really weird this morning. I've got one eye poking down all the time. If you look at this in verse 5, for those who are according to the flesh. In other words, for those whose lives are valued around the flesh. Put it that way. Whose main value in life is the flesh. And when I say the flesh, I'm talking about, or I believe he's talking about, an unsaved person, someone who is not in Jesus Christ, but someone who is still sold under sin. So it's talking about according to the flesh, and literally it says this. It says, for those who are according to the flesh, set their minds on the things of the flesh. Set their minds means to think, ponder, or to hold a view, and it means purposeful pondering. It's habitual domination is what it is. Habitual domination or dominated. So the life, basically what we're talking about is someone whose life is habitually dominated by the flesh. Someone whose mindset is on the flesh, who's very inner. And by the way, where do we hear that mind? Go back to verse 25 of chapter 7. It says, thanks be to God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So then on the one hand, I myself with my mind am serving the law of God, but on the other with my flesh, the law of sin. With my mind and with my flesh. And then he says down here in verse 5, he says, those who are according to what we looked at last week, who are walking according to the flesh, excuse me, who are walking according to the flesh, set their minds or have that habitual dominated mind on the flesh. So sin is the key issue. But it doesn't always look like sin, okay? That's the point. It doesn't always look like sin. Sometimes it looks like religion. Sometimes it looks like just a good thing, not a bad thing. But its motivation, the whole motivation of it is based on self. And what is a description of sin in Scripture? Sin is selfishness. So whatever is out of my self-motivation, why my self-desires, my flesh desires is sin. And when our life is dominated by that, the habitual domination there, the heartthrob, look at it that way, the heartthrob of a person, then you have someone who is walking according to the flesh. But look what it says. But those who are according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. So the mindset, and go to verse 6. For the mindset on the flesh is death, but the mindset on the Spirit is life and peace. The mindset, the mind-dominated or thoughtful planning that is based on the flesh, death. Okay, take the word is out, because the word is implied there. Literally, it says the mind in verse 6, it says the mindset on the flesh, death. There's the end product. There it is. It is a natural flowing product of having a mindset on the flesh. Or, according to verse 5, walking according to the flesh. Walking, we already learned, is living. Living according to selfishness, selfish desires, my self-fulfillment. Look at it that way. Self-fulfillment. But, on the other hand, opposite of that, the mindset on the Spirit is life and peace. Now, I'd like to look at that because what is it about, and we'll learn this later. In fact, in chapter 12, go over to chapter 12. Because it's interesting what we end up learning as we go through this. In chapter 12, first couple of verses say this. I therefore... Whoops. That wasn't right. That's what you do when you go from memory. That was Ephesians chapter 4. Let's go to Matthew, or can we just quit and start over here? Let's go to Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship, and do not be conformed to this world, but, listen to this, be transformed by the renewing of your mind, in order that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. Transformed by the renewing of your mind. It's also mentioned in Colossians, same type of thing. But the transformed, the renewing of the mind is the key element here. Turn to, let me give you a quote. Kenneth Wiest. He says this, the word spiritually minded, and he gives the Greek here, are literally the mind possessed by the Spirit. Thus a mind controlled or dominated by the Holy Spirit. That person possesses the life of the life that God is, and peace. The Greek word for peace in its verb form, meaning to bind together that which has been separated. Thus, the believing sinner, bound together with God and his life after having been separated by sin. In other words, we are born into sin. We are separated from the life of God. We don't have a part in the life of God because we are born into our own sin problem. But Jesus Christ came. He gave his life on behalf of us. He gave his life to justify the world, according to chapter 5. And because he gave his life to justify the world, we now have the option of accepting that. We have the option of grasping that, lambano, grasp to grasp, or pisteo, to believe. We believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we have that, we are born into a family. We are adopted into the family of God. At that point, we have the Spirit of God. And I want to show you what happens when that happens. Turn over to Philippians. I'm sorry, it's not in Philippians. Turn over to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Because you have the mindset on the flesh and you have the mindset on the Spirit. But I want you to see how it changes, or why it changes. Why there is a change. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. I want to start in verse 14. I'm going to read even into chapter 4 a little bit. But starting in verse 14, because this is a hard passage to catch, but the truth in this passage is amazing. Look what it says in verse 14. But their minds, he's talking about the Pharisees, he's talking about those who were under the law. But their minds were hardened, for until this very day at the reading of the old covenant, the law, the same veil remains unlifted, because it is removed in Christ. But to this day, whenever Moses is read, a veil lies over their heart. But whenever a person turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of God, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord the Spirit. Therefore, chapter 4, therefore, since we have this ministry, we have received mercy. We do not lose heart. But we have renounced the things hidden because of shame, not walking, living in craftiness or adultering the word of God, but by the manifestation of truth, the opening up of truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. In whose case the God of this world, this is how it happened, folks. The God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving so that they might not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus as Lord, and ourselves as your bondservants for Christ's sake. For God says, light shall shine out of the darkness, is the one who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels. This is the problem. So that the surpassing greatness of the power will be of God and not of ourselves. We have this truth. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. See, the God of the world is the one who has blinded the eyes of those who are unregenerate, of those who have not received God's love. But the Holy Spirit is the one who opens the eyes, takes that veil away. Suddenly there is truth that is manifested in those who receive the truth, those who acknowledge what God has done. Those who accept the Lord Jesus Christ. Suddenly that truth is opened up. And I believe that's what it's talking about back here in Romans. In Romans chapter 8, it's talking about a mindset, a certain mindset. The fact that that mindset, instead of being on the flesh, being dominated habitually by the flesh, by selfishness, will be dominated habitually by the Spirit. Does that mean that everything that an unsaved person does is bad? No. Does that mean that everything that a saved person does is good? No. All right? That's not what it's talking about. It's talking about the mindset. It's talking about that opening up of truth that the Spirit does. The Holy Spirit does. Go on. Look what it says in verse 7. Because, I'll read through verse 6 and then go on to 7. For the mindset on the flesh is death, but the mindset on the Spirit, life and peace. Because the mindset on the flesh is hostile toward God, for it does not subject itself to the law of God, nor is it even able to do so. And those who are in the flesh cannot please God. We're talking about the mindset on the flesh being hostile toward God. The word hostile is enmity, at odds with. It denotes an inner disposition which hostility rises from. An inner disposition. In other words, hatred. Hatred of what God is doing. Hatred of what the Spirit does. Because the mind is set completely against God. Now, does that mean that someone with a mindset on the flesh cannot be religious? No. The Pharisees were very religious. And yet their mindset was on the flesh. How was it on the flesh? Because it was on the law of God. And in fact, it says here, the mindset on the flesh is hostile toward God, for it does not subject itself to the law of God. It's not even able to do so. It doesn't subject. And the word subject means to voluntarily come under the authority of. The mindset on the flesh doesn't voluntarily come under the authority of the law of God because it's no power. It's not the word, it's not able to do so, it's dunamis. There is no power to do it. There's no power to do it because the Holy Spirit is not there giving the power to do it. We have to have the Spirit of God before we can ever live godly. We have to. That's the only way to please God. In fact, look what it says in the next verse. Verse 8. And those who are in the flesh cannot please God. They cannot please God. Why not? Because of the flesh. We really don't understand how wrong, how evil the flesh is. Now, I know that there have been dualism, Gnosticism. There was, even in Paul's day, there was tremendous misteaching on this, okay? And the misteaching was, the false teaching was, look, this flesh is wrong, this flesh is bad, and our spirit is good. So someday we're going to leave this flesh, this flesh is evil anyway, you can do whatever you want. There were people being promiscuous, there were people drunkenness, there were people doing all sorts of evil, all sorts of sin in the name of God. Saying it's okay because this flesh is evil and this flesh is going to die, but my spirit is alive. My spirit is going to remain. Okay, and that's a false teaching of this. That's a misunderstanding of this truth. But it was taken very seriously. And in fact, Paul has addressed it. Peter even addresses it in some of his letters. There was a tremendous amount of problem with this. But the issue going on here is the fact that the mindset on the flesh ends in death. It's hostile towards God. It's completely apart from God. Because it revolves around the flesh. It revolves around me. All right? Have you ever heard the saying, it's not about you? We had I was talking to my dad this last week, and he had a gal in church that was dealing with a situation in their church and in her life. And she came and she was talking to dad. She said, I'd really like to write a book that I've been thinking about for the last quite a few years. He said, you would? He said, well, what kind of book? She said, well, I'd like to title it, It's Not About Me. Because she said, every situation that I come into that I'm dealing with, it's all about that person. It's all about, it's the whole situation is a problem because I'm not getting whatever. It's not blessing me. It's not feeding me. It's not pleasing me. It's a mindset that's dominated on me, on the flesh. You see, sin is deceitful. Sin is a great deceiver. Sin is great at convincing people that sin has the best interest in mind for them. And one of the things that I used yesterday in the message that I had was, I was talking to Gideon, and I said, the world talks about the fact that you need to watch out for number one. You need to watch out for yourself. I said, after God or in your relationship after God, she is your number one. She will be your number one. But that's not what the world says. And that doesn't please myself. That doesn't please my flesh. But you see how sin has worked it around to say that, well, the best thing for me is to watch out for me. And yet God says what? He says, watch out for your neighbor. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love your wife as yourself. As Christ loved the church. He gives a whole complete different viewpoint, a whole complete different what? Whole complete different mindset. Isn't it amazing? The whole complete different mindset that the Christian has. Why? Because we have the Spirit. Because the Spirit of God is in us. And the Spirit of God is life and peace. The spirit of the world or the spirit of the flesh is death. Period. That's the end product. Why? Because it's selfish spirit. But the spirit according to, or living according to, or not out of the spirit, living according to the spirit. And how rich is the spirit? Remember that illustration of how wealthy and giving according to? How rich is the spirit? Not in money, although he is. But how rich, how wealthy, how huge is the spirit? Spirit is made, because spirit is God. The Spirit is God. And all that He is, and all that He has, and all that He wants for us. Having a mindset according to the Spirit, walking according to that, to Him, that's a complete different realm. It's a complete different mindset. And you know what? Christians have that. Now, do we all have it in the same... Are we all understanding it the same? Are we all experiencing it the same? No. No. I've got a long ways to go before I even reach you. Okay, we all have huge areas to grow in that, to grow in our understanding. But that's why we have a mindset on the Spirit. That's why in chapter 12, he says, don't be conformed to the world. Don't keep taking what the world says, because the world is based on the flesh. Don't keep taking that as our jumping point. Don't keep taking that as what's good, what's great, as, hey, how I feel, how what I get out of it. Don't keep taking that, but instead, transform. Be transformed by what? The renewing of your mind. Our mindset is important. It is so important to understand that as a Christian, we have a different mindset. And that is how people see Jesus Christ in you. Is because as a Christian, you have a different mindset. Your actions, your reactions, everything is different than someone whose mindset is on the flesh. Because those whose mindset are on the flesh, death ends in that. And yet that's the pull of the world. That's the pull of sin. That's the veil that Satan has put over those who aren't saved. That's the veil that reigns over them is, look, I got to watch out for myself. Look, it's all about me. It's all about my intentions. It's all about what I want. That's the veil. And what happens when we trust Christ? He lifts the veil, according to 2 Corinthians. He lifts the veil. He opens our eyes so we can see what is spiritual. We can see what is right. And our minds, we can renew our minds. How does that happen? Through God's Word. Because the Holy Spirit is the one who authored His Word. And He uses His Word to renew our minds, to have a new mindset in Him. Next week, we're going to see the new mindset, okay? Because I didn't get that far. I really thought I was going to get through verse 11. I really did, because I had all the notes down, and I was just positive I was going to. But we're not going to. But look what it says in verse 9. However, you are not in the flesh, but of the Spirit. He's talking to Christians here. Right, so he's talking about those who aren't saved. We've already looked at the mindset of those who aren't saved. Next week, we're going to look at the mindset of those who have Jesus Christ, those who have accepted Him. All right? Now, the problem is we want to look at everyone else and say, well, you don't have the mindset of Christ. You don't have... Sometimes we even have a hard time looking at our own. But instead of looking out, let's instead look in. Where is your mindset today? Where's our mindset? Is it perfect? Is it always completely under? Okay, I'm not going there. That's not the point of this. The point of this is God even entering into the equation. Does God have anything to do with your life? Or is it all about me? I'm not talking about being a preacher or whatever. Okay, getting a so much fun. People say, well, you're a pastor. I say, okay, I get my check from a church. Does that make me any different? I mean, my check comes from a church instead of comes from a roof. All right, so that makes me completely different. Weird, right? No, it's not about that. It's not what it's about at all. It's about an everyday mindset, and that's why Christianity is a growing thing. It grows as we understand the deception that sin has on us, the deception that sin puts in front of those whose mindset is on the flesh. How that's supposed to be that way. We're supposed to think about just ourselves. And that's such a deception. It's just such a deceitful thing. And yet, the mindset on the Spirit is what? Life and peace. What is peace? Peace is that separation that is no longer separate. We're separated by sin, and all of a sudden, we are God's child. And because we are God's child, we put our arms down and say, yeah, great. I can now rest in Him. Life and peace, that's the outset of being a child of God, of having a mindset on Him. Next week, we'll get into that a little bit, because he talks about, in verse 10, he says, if Christ is in you, though the body is, it's good, okay? Because He's dwelling in us, and the word dwell is really cool, okay? But next week, we'll go over that. But what I want you to see here, I wanted you to see that sin has dominated for so long. Sin has blinded, has put a veil up, and that veil is always there until the Holy Spirit shows us, until the Holy Spirit rips it off when we accept His love. Understand this. There are those who you will talk to. There are those who you will minister to, who you will witness to. They still have that veil. The veil is still there. The veil that says, I can do it myself. I can do it my way. The veil is still there, but that veil ends in death. Continue to pray for them. Continue to water. Continue to plant seed. Continue to love as Christ loved. Show them that love. Show them who you are through Jesus Christ. And continue to minister. If you have never trusted in Jesus Christ, and I would dare say your mindset is on the flesh. It is on the flesh. It's where we all have been. But God wants your mindset to be on the Spirit, because He loves you and He wants life and peace for you. True life, true peace. And you can have that in Jesus Christ. I would invite you to become a child of His so that you can have true life and true peace, and your mindset can be changed. Your mindset can be on according to the Spirit. You can walk, you can live according to the Spirit, not according to self. Let's pray.